All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Second half hour, and we still have on the line former UVA linebacker, star linebacker, Charles McDaniel. And Charles, I think Frank has an additional question for you.
Charles, you know, as good as the defense is playing right now, I think the onus is going to be on the offense and to some degree the special teams in this big clash on Saturday against Louisville, currently number 21 team in the AP poll. You talked about diversity in the play calling. Don't you think some of that by Steve Fairchild, his conservative play calling, has been more the result of trying to allow the new offensive line time to get used to each other, get their assignments down, and try to impress upon folks that we are still going to try to run the football, referring to the University of Virginia?
That certainly plays a factor. Plays a part in this. I do think, though, into the third game into the season, we need to open up the playbook a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a little more sizzle in this offense. This read option dive package that we have used, in my opinion, to excess, it certainly gives the offensive line familiarity in that play. But we need to put our playmakers in space. Whether you saw the Seattle and Green Bay game where you saw Percy Harvin always in motion, always having a matchup that was very favorable to Seattle, or watching Oregon, or watching Tech against Ohio State. When you put that type of pressure on the defense and you're having your playmakers in single coverage or man-to-man coverage, You're dictating. Right now, I don't think we're dictating much on offense, and I don't know if the strength of this year's team is going to be running the ball up the middle. It certainly seems to be an emphasis early on, and we need to establish that we can do that, but not at the expense of getting playmakers in space.
Charles,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, what's your assessment of the two quarterbacks thus far?
Well, I think they've both been effective. I would not say highly effective, but I would say effective. Certainly in the first two games, Grayson Lambert has shown a high completion ratio, but the average yards per reception is a little less than 8. We're averaging 3 yards a rush, which, you know, is not going to get it done as we get in the meat of the season. And I think they've both done certainly a competent job, and it's difficult when you're playing two quarterbacks. But both, I think, have responded well, and you'll see two quarterbacks this week. I would expect Grayson Lambert to start again. I'd love to see some more intermediate and getting the ball down the field. We need to do that as much as we need to establish the running game. We need to take some pressure off of the line, and I think it's really important that we diversify and open up the playbook a little bit. I think they purposely, obviously it was purposely, but they limited the playbook a little bit the first couple games to get everyone familiar and comfortable. This is a third game. Okay, it's no longer the first game. It's not the second. We need to show what we have, and hopefully that will be good enough, and that will put some pressure on a good Louisville defensive a team. We cannot continue to do the same thing over and over again in hopes to get different results. I don't think we'll get different results if we have the same very vanilla, very structured game plan that we have right now. We need to open it up because I think we have playmakers. We're just not getting them the ball in space.
Let's talk about that. Mizell and Kevin Parks at tailback. First off, Parks only had 13 carries in this last game, which seems to me to be too few. At the same time, I thought Smoke Mizell got too many carries between the tackles. He's a tiny little player. I know he's fast as green as lightning, but when you talk about putting somebody in space, that's the guy they need to bring in motion.
Well, Parks is not exactly Jerome Bettis either.
Well, but Parks, just let's make sure you understand the size. Parks is 5'7". Maybe 8, but he's 210 pounds of steel. And when this guy hits the hole, he's hitting the hole.
I think what you have, I think you described it right. I I do think when you have Kalik Shepard, you have Smoke Mazel, I want to see them in motion. I want to see them handing off the ball as they're coming across the field. I want to get them in space out in the flats. We've run them down the field a little bit. Your workhorse is Kevin Parks, and probably he needs to have more than 13 carries, but you had several other tailbacks getting carries, and I agree with you. I don't think Smoke Mazel's strength is running between the tackles. You need to do it occasionally, but we have done it ad nauseum here. I think we need to get beyond occasionally and get him in space, which will open up Kevin Parks to run between tackles, Ham to run between tackles. You've got two people with exceptional speed, very good hands, and they're not the guys that are going to, I think, produce for you between the tackles. We've got a good mix. We just need to use them.
Well, you know, with Jake McGee having left and going down to Florida, where unfortunately he had a bad injury on Saturday, and, you know, I feel terrible for him. But to me, Swanson is 6'6". He can run down that middle seam, and if they throw the ball up to him, he's a big kid. I stood next to him. He's taller than Jake is. He's not as athletic in the air going for the ball, but
he also had a bad drop in that UCLA game earlier at some point.
Yeah, but
time.
He caught another one later. Yeah.
What you've seen with our tight ends is that they've been such an integral part of our rushing game because of how unsure we were with the offensive line. They have been more blockers than they have been receivers, and I agree with you. But what teams are doing is they're stacking the box, and they're daring us to throw. And against UCLA, when Matt Johns came in, he threw the ball down the field. We had man coverage, and we took advantage of the size differential. We've got some big athletic receivers, and quite a few of them can run. So I think you've got these receivers who can maybe take the place of what we used Jake McGee in the past. Some big kids with height and speed, and I think you can integrate in certainly the tight ends as well. But they've been such an important part of blocking, chipping those linebackers and defensive ends that have been just coming hard at us. Because I don't think anyone thinks that we can effectively throw the ball. I would say we have been mildly effective throwing the ball. Certainly the highlights at Matt Johns in that first game, but you know Richmond had 360 yards throwing the ball. We were at maybe 200. That's probably not enough production out of your quarterback. And I do think we need to get some other people into the offensive flow. Certainly the tight ends, but when you do that, you got to understand you're giving up another blocker.
Right.
That until we prove we can do some other things, they're going to be seven men, eight men in the box. They're going to test you.
Well, the receivers that Virginia has that have that speed and size and the leaping ability, Andre Lavrone has shown well. Also, obviously, Kanane Severin had his best game last week. Darius Jennings is of the smaller variety but has the most speed getting down the field. I suspect that Lambert and Johns will be looking downtown often as they pound maybe the middle of the line with Kevin Parks. They put Taquan, Smoke Mazel out into space, maybe Kalik Shepard like you intimated, and then trying to isolate those other taller receivers, particularly Lavrone and Severin. They seem to be the ones that are that have won over the coaches as the most reliable players. So special teams, this is a game where number 30 needs to punt the heck out of the football. He is. I'm not sure that he's ever had a more important game than the one that's coming up.
Well, special teams will play a critical role, as they did against Richmond, where it was so nice to see some really effective return yards.
Mm-hmm.
Made a few mistakes, but I think you're starting to see those. There's some playmakers there, and they've certainly put more athletic guys on special teams. Some starters on special teams, and certainly some key reserves. So I think special teams will be very important. Vizinalik is going to need to have a big game. We're going to need to pin them down because I know our defense. I am absolutely confident that our defense will play another great game this week and will create some turnovers, get some sacks. that special teams, as you said, is a critical part. And in the past 4 years, special teams has been other than our punting ability, has been a weakness. And it's been stressed during the preseason. It's been stressed all off season. We need to get production out of all the special team players and members, both in the kicking game and in just in production and pinning down the opponent. This is a good football team we're going to be playing, and I don't think any part of this team, offense, defense, or special teams, can have an off day. We have not put it all together yet, but I am hoping, and I think that this week could be the week. It's a critically important game, and I know they're coaching them up that way. We need fans to get out there and do a better job than they have the first couple games. We need that support. They need to show up. They need to be loud. They need to be proud, and they can be a difference.
Yeah, I think the good news is the weather's going to be a lot more favorable this weekend. Charles, we got to let you go. Before we do, does Virginia win the game Saturday?
I'm predicting a victory, and I think we're going to have a very good showing, and there are going to be a lot of people proud of this team after this game.
Very good. All right, we want to thank you for coming on, and you can come back anytime because I always like Virginia alumni that picked the Wahoos. All right.
There you go. Y'all have a great evening. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Charles.
Go Hoos.
All right, Charles McDaniel, what a terrific representative for the University of Virginia, and I thought his analysis, he nailed it all.
Good radio voice, too.
Doesn't he has a good voice?
Yeah, he got that nice, deep baritone. Is that the right terminology?
I don't think we can have him back then. He might take our place. I mean, holy cow. He might decide to stop driving the big trucks, moving all the furniture. I mean,
that's a typical defensive player. Typical. Well-spoken.
Well-spoken, really smart.
Analytical.
That's it. You know, what is it about you football guys? You're all bright.
You know, you've got to be these days. You're studying football, not to mention your academic.
Those playbooks are like 6 inches thick.
Absolutely.
You know, the basketball playbook in my day was get the ball to Park Hill. It was like one line.
You know, one thing that's going to be important this weekend is to keep the defense off the field. So we're going to have a good offensive showing.
Well, we're going to have to score some points, too. You know, I think even as well as the defense is playing, you're not going to stop Louisville cold. So you have to anticipate we're going to have to score some points in order to be successful.
Who's going to need 27 to 30 points and then going to have a stellar performance by special teams to help the D? They've got to lengthen the field. They've got to force Louisville to try to drive deep out of their end of the field, you know, something inside the 10 so that they can't use all their crazy plays. That new quarterback, he's not Teddy Bridgewater yet, but he's got skills.
Well, it really makes a big, you know, Charles and Frank and Bobby, everybody making the same point, but it's special teams where you can run that ball back to the 40-yard line or into the other team's territory. It really does help to shorten the field for your offense as opposed to having to start, you know. Of course, I wonder why teams don't try to kick it right to the goal line and cover the kick and try to, you know, make a team possibly get back to the 18, 20-yard line, you know.
The stats on longer drives are impressive. If you make them go 80 to 90 yards, they're not going to score.
Well, I mean, but if you kick the ball 6-7 yards deep in the end zone, the other team gets it at the 25. It seems to me that you inevitably should take a knee in the end zone if you're 2, 3, 4, 5 yards deep in the end zone. Because, you know, why not take it at the 25?
Well, you know, that brings up the important position of kickoff specialist. And Dylan Sims, he's doing a great job. Have you seen him, the pink shoes and the dancing? I'm telling you, that guy.
Oh, the opening kickoff the other day, he kicked out of bounds, which was a mistake.
He can get good hang time on his kick, so he can do what you're talking about. Put it 1 or 2 yards deep in the end zone with good hang time, then you're talking. And we've got guys that can come down there and make tackles at the 18.
No, I think strategically that would make sense where you're trying to cover the kick and maybe keep somebody inside the 20-yard line, rather than just automatically give them the 25-yard line. But And you certainly don't want to give them the 35-yard line, which is the kick out of bounds.
No two ways about it. All right, well, we're waiting for Dr. Vince Dalton from Ortho Virginia. While we're waiting to try to connect him on the line, we might point out that Henry Coley appeared to have suffered a stinger when he had that play in the middle of the field going after that receiver that went down quickly. It looks like he bounced his head off the turf. We did get a rumor today from one of my sources up in Charlottesville that number 75 left tackle Siddiqui Olenrewaju is finally going to be back on the practice field doing some light exercises. And that's important because the O-line has been depleted by injuries, and he's coming back from a knee sprain, I believe.
I'll defer to you guys. Those players that wear those little collars around their neck, is that designed to try to do something about a stinger? Or what's the objective of that device when players wear them?
Well, kind of protect the neck from bending too far, from that head going back, going to the side, you know.
Now, does
it doesn't prevent a stinger, but it prevents that pinched nerve in the neck where your arm goes numb and doesn't work.
And
for
that
you.
Generally would not be used for a preventative thing. It would be done only after somebody had a problem.
A lot of guys use them preventatively. You see them in middle linebackers, especially more linebackers than anybody.
All right, we're waiting for. Why don't we do this? We're going to go to break, and hopefully we can connect with Dr. Vince Dalton here shortly. When we come back on the other side, we're going to do the Olympic Sports Report. This is Who's Talking. Stay with us. Bobby Call in studio with us. We've got a breakdown of all the ACC games and their final predictions for UVA versus Louisville coming up. Stay with us.